Welcome to Real Things Living, where inspiring stories and transformative journeys take center stage. Today, we have a remarkable guest joining us. Meet Dr. Victor Pineda. He's a globally recognized human rights expert and a beacon of change. His journey from facing exclusion as a child to becoming a driving force for inclusive futures is nothing short of inspiring. In this episode, Dr. Pineda shares insights on how a shift in mindset can turn challenges into opportunities, unlocking human potential through inclusion. We delve into the foundation that he created, World Enabled, dedicated to transforming governments and companies across a more inclusive future. But that's not all. Dr. Pineda also explores the intersection of AI and inclusion, discussing a groundbreaking project with the city of Amsterdam, using artificial intelligence to audit sidewalks for accessibility. So stay tuned for a glimpse into the future of technology and inclusivity. Hi, y'all. It's Bridget Cutshaw with Real Things Living. Today, my guest is Dr. Victor Pineda, and he is a globally recognized human rights expert. Can you say hi, Victor?
Of course. Hi, everybody.
I appreciate you taking the time to be here. It's quite an honor, all the stuff that you're doing. And my understanding is that you're really in looking to an inclusive future for everybody.
That's
and then
right.
you what made you obviously you have a disability, so I guess you saw there's a lack of that for everybody, and that's what prompted you to do that.
Well, there's a lack of access. The world was not really built for the diverse range of human experiences. I stopped walking when I was 7 years old. I was born in Venezuela, and the students, the teachers, the principals, everybody made sure that my mother knew that I was not welcome at school.
Oh, wow.
That I should be kept at home so that I would not be bullied. That's kind of a pretty significant, reality as a child, to be denied an education.
Because of a disability, right?
Yeah. There were no civil rights protections in the early 80s in Venezuela. There were in the U.S. And my mother sought opportunities here, and I moved with her, and I thrived. I was welcomed to my first grade class, first year at school. The teacher was steering. Said to the students, anybody who volunteers to push Victor's wheelchair to the cafeteria will get an extra 15 minutes of playtime. So all the kids raised their hand and they want to be my friend. I mean, that didn't cost the school any extra money, but it shows that inclusion is much more of a mindset. And it's about, what I noticed is that you can unlock human potential by the way that you imagine a problem and imagine solutions. So if you were to think that the problem lied in my inability to walk, then the only solution was to get me to walk. That wasn't going to be possible because my muscles had a genetic condition that meant they weren't going to get stronger. But if we could change my ability to move around that space, if we could change the ability of the students and the teachers to see what I could contribute, how I could be part of that ecosystem, then we sort of unlock human potential. We unlock the ability to think inclusively. And we unlock the ability for us to learn from each other, to share with each other. So that was an early sort of push. I mean, that led me then to working with the UN, serving three US administrations as a presidentially appointed member and regulator to the US Federal Access Board. I developed policies in cities like Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and Ecuador, countries in Ecuador. So I've done a lot of work, but everything goes back to that early experience, you know, experiencing both exclusion and then inclusion.
And as you're talking, it made me think of this is, made you understand that you do have value. We all have value to provide to everybody, right? And so all this along the way, at some point, you created the foundation. So how long has your foundation been around?
Well, I incorporated the Victor Brandt Foundation in my college dorm room.
Oh, wow.
So I realized that it was something I wanted to dedicate my life to. I realized I needed a vehicle. And with a local law firm that volunteered to help me set it up. We filed all the paperwork, and I wasn't very creative on the name. I just said this will be my personal mission, and we incorporated it as the Victor Pineda Foundation. You know, I wasn't endowed, you know, wealthy or rich, but I had a rich imagination and a very deep commitment. And then we developed really cool programs. And that was called World Enabled, which was really to help governments and companies with their own transformations towards inclusion, and developed a lot of interesting media and sort of storytelling around it. And then realized, you know, that a lot of my own development was very much informed by the advocacy that I was doing. So at the age of 22 or 23, I was sneaking into the United Nations to help negotiate this human rights treaty to protect the rights of persons with disabilities. And I would sleep on friends' couches, and you know, my brothers were also at the time in New York. So I just kept showing up and using my financial aid money to get myself where I thought I could make the biggest impact. And I developed friendships that ended up, you know, being all over the world. And that's how the advocacy that I did really became global. And I took that perspective and I applied to grad school, did a master's in regional economic development, and then a PhD in urban planning and social policy formation. So, from being denied an education to getting a PhD to then teaching at some of the world's most prestigious universities was quite a transformative journey.
That's amazing. You definitely have a lot of tenacity, resilience, and drive. And it's because you want to help so many other people based on your personal experiences, and your perspective helps other people understand. We got to understand and listen. And I think what you're doing is helping so much, just in general. And I'm so glad that we connected. I have one more question. We had, well, you had, my understanding, you sent me an email that you're now working with AI now. So how do you see that applying to your inclusion?
Well, I think it's central. The world is changing so quickly. And, you know, when we think about where is the world going to be in 5, 10, 20 years, we need to be ahead of the curve. Like, we need to
Yes.
get the voices, get the people that have the right values, you know, at the table. Not only sitting at the table, but also represented and have a voice and be heard and be seen. So, you know, there's a lot of real things happening. And, you know, this podcast invites us to think about what are these real things and what really matters to us. And I think it's ultimately about values.
Yes.
And do we value a democratic society? Do we value, you know, equity and access? Do we value giving people choice and autonomy and freedom, right? And do we value the ability to unlock human potential? If you value those things, then let's work together. And let's figure out how to make the world a little bit better than the way we found it. So that is what my foundation is doing. That's what I've done both in research, due to my appointment as faculty at the University of California, Berkeley. That's what I've done as an advisor to government, consultant, helping to build, you know, strategies and policies and plans around access. And that's what I'm doing here with you, helping to share a story that could inspire others.
Yeah, maybe my father, excuse me, my stepfather said that to me before, always leave the world behind in a better place. You just try to make a positive impact, help with the change. It's always, change has always been there, right? We just need to adapt the right way, the best way, I guess. So where can people learn more about you? On your website is worldenabled.org, correct?
Yeah, we can share all the links.
Right, we'll have all the links. Okay.
I think ultimately, you know, the biggest takeaway I've learned is we have to have collaboration and we have to have a creative mindset in order to really unlock possibilities. Because if we think of the problem in the wrong perspective, we'll come up with the wrong solutions, right? And so I'd love to be able to invite people to engage with our projects and follow the content on LinkedIn and learn about, you know, what we're developing. We do have a really cutting edge project we're doing with the city of Amsterdam.
Oh, wow.
To leverage artificial intelligence and be able to audit a city's sidewalks on accessibility. So you can feed a bunch of images to the algorithm and the computer can identify if there are a lot of obstacles, right, for older persons or people with disabilities.
Right.
Or runners. I know that you love to run as well. So.
I know, I because I can. And there's a point in my life where I wasn't able to because of the, you know, had cancer a couple times, and I have the brain tumor still, but I was able to have that treated. But I found a way to do it again, the balance. I don't do it in the dark because I need, you know, I need my eyes more, right? When you don't have the balance properly, you need to, but right, we all find a way. We all have it's amazing what we all go through when you find a way, being persistent and collaborating.
Well, the AI would help you, right? Just give the city could identify those barriers.
Yes.
And they could help eliminate those barriers. Yes.
Yes.
Make it a little bit safer to walk around. I think the other creative project is we're working to build guidelines so that cities can be more autism friendly. So thinking about neurodiversity and design. So that's very exciting. And we are going to be publishing a book on sort of the guidelines on how to build autism friendly spaces.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. When is that going to be expected to be released?
Probably later in 2024.
Okay.
And I'm co-authoring that with good friend and collaborator, Dr. Sarita Catalano and Jennifer Cabrera. So we're working hard on sharing those ideas.
That's beautiful. And I love books, by the way. So I think that is, to me, I'm from that generation where I'm more engaged. I learn more when I'm reading a book, but I also like podcasting too, because where I'm like, it's more of a conversation. And I think it's beautiful what you're doing to help everybody. I'm totally behind you on the being collaborative and having, you know, creative mindset that helps you come up with solutions. And for those that are listening, I will have the links in the description, how you can reach out to Dr. Victor Pineda and go from there. Thank you again for your time. It was wonderful to meet you. Even though it's on video, we still met.
Likewise, I think to leave your audience with something that I came across from your website.
Okay.
And your work at Gemini Media is, you know, those collaborations have to be really meaningful. People need to find meaning in the way that they interact with each other. And I think that the world, you know, some of the challenges that we face isn't because we don't know what to do. It's because we're not doing it holistically. We're doing a lot of sort of compartmentalized approaches, right? And if I think you'll start to notice that client empathy and really knowing and understanding the people that we serve will give us a return on investment, will give us that ROI, right? And at the end of the day, you know, I'm here to support the transformation towards a more inclusive future today.
Right.
So let's get those objectives, perspectives, expertise all lined up and make that impact together.
And it's also definitely about building trust. Trust is, yeah. In ethics, it's all that's in the back of my mind all the time. And this is, again, I love that you even checked out my website. You did, guys. So this is awesome. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day and a holiday, everybody. Thank you again.
All the best. Stay in touch. Bye, Bridget.
Bye.